Here's the situation. My parent, no. When I was a preteen, there was this one rap group that I loved called DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. Awesome. And there was this thing that I would do. So when my parents would tell me something I didn't want to hear, I would run to my room, slam my door, put in my cassette tape, put it into my boombox, and on full blare, blast this song called Parents Just Don't Understand. My favorite part, and to you other kids all across the land, there's no need to argue. Parents just don't understand, right? Yeah, some of you know it. I can do the whole rap, Leslie Knope style, if you want to hear that afterwards. So if my mom is here, I don't know that she's in here. She, oh, yeah, yeah. So Mom, happy Mother's Day. That was one of the most mild things that I did to torture my mom. So you survived. Congratulations. And here you are. Here we are several years later. So at the time, I remember just getting mad at parents, being a preteen, teen. Ooh, that was way worse. And just thinking, my parents don't understand. They're wrong. They told me something I didn't want to hear. Now, my perspective 30-some years later is different. Because I even think that maybe they did understand, and maybe I was the one who didn't understand what was going on. And maybe they weren't giving me what they wanted, what I wanted in the moment, because they were more concerned about who I might be down the road, which they hoped was a way better person than I was as a teenager, and hopefully I am. So we're going to get into, we're doing this series on the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is just crucial teaching, so we're going to start in Matthew 7 this morning. So this is our long stretch. These are what we're focusing on before we shift. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which one of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So we're not going to get into detail of that yet. Now we're going to shift. And this may seem like it's a big departure, but I don't think it is. Because here we're ending with gifts. Parents know how to give good gifts to their children. And we're going to switch the word from gift to reward. So again, I know it's a little bit different. But there are these teachings that are consistent throughout Scripture, and we're going to look at one instance in a letter to the Hebrews. This is Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Now, if you are uncomfortable with the idea that God rewards people, that's probably a good thing. I am too. Probably you've heard different claims from people like me about God promises health and wealth and prosperity and all those kind of things. And if you just have enough faith, or if you believe the right things or whatever, then your life will be good. As we know from the scriptures, the lives of the disciples, the early followers of Jesus, they got sick. They weren't rich. So maybe that's a thing where we can be blessed, but the prosperity gospel, the idea of if God loves me, then he'll reward me with health, wealth, and prosperity. And most of us understand that just because you're sick or if you're low on cash, that doesn't mean that God is out to get you. But as we wrestle with this and the essence of Scripture and what it might look like for God to reward us, I want to tell you about a friend of mine named Bart. Now, Bart used to come to church here, and in 2019, he passed away. And there's a picture of me and him, and Bart was a guy who, I knew him for 3 years, and he made a pretty big impact on our family. But a lot of the days with Bart were very irritating, because after the service, we would wait for the Indigo bus, sometimes for hours, because they were always running late, and poor Bart would just be like, send me out there, leave me outside, they'll get here someday. I was like, no, Bart, we can't do that. So we never knew when he was going to be able to get his ride. He never had great wealth. He was in a wheelchair most of his life, so God didn't bless him with great health. But I always kind of wanted to be friends with Bart, and I had a selfish agenda, and it was because I suspected Bart was the kind of guy that God would reward. So I was like, maybe if I get close enough, or maybe if we're in heaven someday, that Bart will have this nice mansion and he'll let me come over someday. So I always kind of wondered about that, and I was really surprised when he passed away. I think it was December or November of 2019. I couldn't believe how my kids were impacted by his death. And that was a rough month for us, wasn't it, Muriel? But I just remember thinking a few months later, wow, like he really touched my kids. And a few months later, COVID-19, you know, the pandemic breaks out, we're isolated. And the silver lining that one of my kids said very sweetly was, well, at least Bart's not here for this. He would have hated this isolation. It's like, yeah, there's a positive that Bart's with Jesus, that he didn't have to go through this time. He would have hated it. So probably a lot of us in this room have rejected the idea that if you follow Jesus, you're going to get rich and you're never going to have a headache and all that kind of stuff. But there's another misnomer that I want to address too that we can also get to that's not really consistent with Scripture. And that is the rewards that come from God come only in the next life. That God rewards people only in heaven. There can almost be this mindset of, hey, I need to bide my time. I got to wait because life is bad or hard. And then someday in heaven, it's going to be good and the reward will come someday out there. And there's for sure this idea that Jesus says that there can be a reward in the resurrection, the afterlife, heaven. But it's not limited to that. So again, as we wrestle and think about how Jesus taught us to pray, Jesus didn't teach us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done in heaven, right? He didn't pray for us just to wait so we could go to heaven someday. No, he taught us to pray, our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So this idea that Jesus left his followers with, it's real clear in the Sermon on the Mount, is that life on earth isn't just to be passively pining away from heaven when everything will be right someday. But there's this idea that the way of following Jesus is being a part of bringing a little bit of heaven to earth. Now, I believe that when Bart was showing my kids gratitude and resilience and friendship, I believe Bart was bringing a little bit of heaven to earth. When Muriel goes and visits somebody who can't get out, she's not just bringing a tasty piece of bread or a tasty loaf of bread. She's bringing a little bit of heaven to earth. So there's this idea where the followers of Jesus are called to be praying for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that we're active agents as we pray actively and looking to even maybe being part of the answer to this great prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. So again, this is not bypassing suffering. Like if it were, that sounds good, right? Like sign me up for that if following Jesus or God rewards by bypassing suffering. So the question remains, how does God reward people? What is a gift from God? What might that look like? And I remembered a story from my son Caleb from a few years ago. He was at school and he came home excited. He said, Dad, my teacher is rewarding me. She saw me picking up somebody's tray without being asked and being kind to somebody. And she said, I get a reward. So I celebrated with him and said, that's awesome. You know, like, that's great. I loved it that my son was being recognized for being thoughtful and kind. And then I said, the big question, so what's the reward? And he said, I don't know. I'll find out later if she remembers. Now that's probably more of a commentary on his dad than his teacher. But you know, like, doesn't it kind of seem like this, where Jesus isn't being real specific, it's kind of vague about the reward in some ways, or God's gifts if it's not health and wealth and prosperity or whatever. But what is it? Is God just going to give us, we'll find out later, right? If God remembers. Like, what does it look like? Well, there's this legendary story of a person named Teresa of Avila, who's recognized as a saint in the church. And there are several versions of this story, but in one of the versions, she is out in remote parts of Spain. And there's all kinds of weather problems, and she either falls into mud off of a horse or carriage, or the water carries her. Like, there's been a lot of rain, and it carries her. So she gets knocked off on her feet. She gets carried down a stream, and she survives it. And she's really frustrated because her ministry was so hard. So she talked to Jesus personally like she did, and she said, "Lord, when are you going to stop scattering these obstacles in our path?" And she said that Jesus said to her, "This is how I treat my friends." And she looked at him and said, "If this is how you treat your friends, it's no wonder you have so few." Yeah, can you relate? Like, God, is this how you're treating your friends? No wonder you have so. Is that a reward? Is it to fall off a horse? And as so often does, my thoughts go to the greatest movie ever made, It's a Wonderful Life. And there's a scene when the hero, George, the protagonist, George Bailey, is down on his luck, and he prays. He needs lots of money. He's in trouble. He's going to go to jail. And he prays, "Dear Father in heaven, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there and you can hear me, show me the way." Not long after that, he gets punched in the mouth. And when asked why he's bleeding, he says, "Oh, I got a bust in the jaw for an answer to a prayer." Now, is that the reward? Is it getting knocked off a horse? Is it a bust in the jaw? What is the reward? It's mysterious. Well, let's, again, just keep wrestling with this idea. Matthew, let's go back to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:11. "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" Now, when it comes to getting good gifts from somebody, it depends upon the character and the ability of the giver. When my mom or my mom and dad said, "Hey, kids, we got a gift for you," we knew something. It was going to be good. Because my parents had the ability and the character. They knew us. They did understand, despite what I claimed. They did understand. And it was every time, it seemed like, something good when they said, "We got something for you." Now, you may not have had parents who every time seemed to come through, but I'm guessing at some point, you probably somewhere, you had a parent or a grandparent or somebody who got something right and gave you something that was really good. Well, Jesus' claim here is that the Heavenly Father knows that he does understand, and he knows how to give good gifts. Jesus had reason to think that. So why are we talking rewards? Why would it be helpful to talk about rewards? Well, I think for me, and maybe for you, one of the things that keeps me from seeking God, from praying, is that deep down, I doubt that it will be rewarding. I might think, "Oh, I'm just like speaking to the air. This is just words that are going to bounce off." Or also, I mean, we all can probably relate to praying for something earnestly and not getting what we hope for. And sometimes those things in life are really, really disappointing. So sometimes in those disappointments, we might even conclude that God doesn't understand, our Heavenly Father doesn't understand, or maybe that God doesn't even exist. Because if I prayed, if I did this, why am I not getting this sort of outcome? And I think that God gets that. If you read the Psalms much, you see that people struggle with this, and God doesn't strike people for their doubts or their frustrations and trying to figure out and seeking God, trying to figure out why certain things happen. But what if praying is different than a grocery list? Get our house, we could just give grocery list to Dad, get it taken care of that day, and it came back timely as we want. But what if prayer is more the attitude of going to God and having reason to believe this, but, "God, I know you can, and I hope you will. God, I hope you, I'm going to ask for this. I hope you do this. This is what I want. I hope you can, and I believe you will." But doing it, seeking the Father, and learning to trust in his goodness. Because sometimes those things that we pray for that don't seem to get answered, maybe there's even a better thing that's coming. Maybe sometimes even disappointment is the doorway to an even deeper hope. When George Bailey prayed, he prayed for money that didn't come immediately. But he was given even a better way. He was given the chance to see perspective on his life, that his life was wonderful and that friendship is rich. And his friends came together to help him out. And that, to me, is a much better way. So, what do we do with all this? I want to first go to Jesus' brother, because he said it in a negative way. And this helps me more, this negative way. So Jesus' brother James was paying attention and said, expressed it in a negative way. You do not have because you do not ask God. Now, this is one I need. This one is so often I just sense this, like, am I really asking for it, or am I just hoping it will happen? You do not have because you do not ask God. Now, let's look at Jesus' positive way of saying it. This is in Matthew 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, unfortunately, English isn't a great translation of this, because we don't see the ask, seek, and knock are in what is called the present active imperative plural of verbs. Now, I don't understand what that means either. If you're in English, Pastor Emily could explain it, probably Jenny too, Vila. Some of you grammar people could. I can't, but I can tell you what maybe a better translation would be, because it's a continuous asking. So it's not ask once and let it go. The continuous action means keep asking. And not only that, but it's in plural. It's not just an individual. So maybe here's an accent, and feel free to make fun of me because I know this is ridiculous. Keep asking, y'all, right? Because we don't have a great English plural world, you all. So keep asking, you all. Keep seeking, you all, and you'll find. Keep knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. How's that one work? Don't stop believing, right? Keep asking. Keep going for it. Keep remembering. Keep praying. Keep actively trying to pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Keep actively trying to be an agent that brings maybe a little bit of heaven to earth. If you're interested in following this Jesus thing and maybe you have some faith in Jesus, I'm just going to ask you as we close this message to pray, to read these words. This is an acknowledgement of who God is and his power. It's written by the Apostle Paul in a book that we call the Ephesians. So this was written to early believers in Ephesians. So again, if you have a little bit of faith and want to proclaim God, I just want to ask you to read this declaration that our Father understands and knows how to give good gifts and that we can trust. Okay, you ready? Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. And again, I just invite you, this is the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. So if you want to acknowledge that and pray with us, we'd love to do this together, to seek together, keep seeking together, you all. So will you pray? Our Father in heaven, holy is your name.